Hey everybody, it's Soraru Neketsu Seinen, The Last Shadow, Mr. VTG Victory Through Guts, Dylan Fox, and I just wanted to give a little quick intro to the show before I officially start the show, and not just to set a little business straight, but also so I don't bore my guest to tears talking and yapping while she's waiting, obviously, so I just wanted to do it on my own a little bit after the interview. First of all, I wanted to personally thank everyone who listened to this show last week, the very first episode of Pure Heart, Pure Lariat, with my good friend W.H. Park. You know, a lot of people always kind of downplay Joshi. They try to fade Joshi. They try to fade the Joshi fans, and sometimes even the wrestlers. But the first episode, I don't want to spoil anything. I don't want to go crazy or anything, but the show was right up neck and neck with the regular Eastern Lariat show. So it was really successful, in my opinion, based on what I was expecting. And I pushed it hard on Twitter. I tried to get everyone into it. And thank you so much, genuinely, for listening and making the show so successful the first week. And the second episode right now that I put up is free right off the bat. It's a special thanks to the listeners for making the first week such a good success, the kickoff of the show. Hopefully everybody came back. I didn't run anybody off. A lot of people gave positive feedback too, so that's good. No big burials or anything on this show this week, so you might not like it as much, sadly. And really, it was through no fault of my own anyway that the last episode was so good. And if this week's episode is good, it definitely isn't because of me either, I have to admit. But from next week on, the Eastern Lariat Patreon subscribers is going to get early access to the show. So everybody try and sign up to that if you like what we're doing here. Just check out the Muto Hashimoto tiers. They're $3 and $5. The $1 tier, the Chono tier, is very nice too. You get some good stuff, but the Pure Heart Pure Lariat is $3 and up. Because it is a special show and I wanted to put it there to give early access. It's not a huge deal because everybody will get it free eventually anyway. But there's a lot of cool stuff to check out if you're a Joshi fan. If you're a regular fan that maybe is new to Joshi, because a couple people messaged me saying that they don't really know what's going on in the Joshi scene, but they want to listen to the show because they respect my opinion or whatever. Maybe they thought Strigo was going to be on the show. You never know. But check out the Patreon and check out the regular Eastern Lariat show too if you want to hear about regular men's Japanese wrestling as well. We go through all of that. And remember that this is on the Eastern Lariat Made feed, too. A lot of people forgot about that. That, you know, it's on iTunes, Stitcher, Downcast, iHeartRadio, Spotify, everywhere podcasts are heard. You can listen anywhere you want, people. Hakuna Matata. But this week, I just wanted to especially give this intro a little bit to talk about what Ice Ribbon actually means to me, because that is what the show is about right now. And Peace Party, obviously, considering the guest. You know who the guest is. You've read the intro to the show. You've read my plugs, probably. So I just want to speak on what Ice Ribbon means to me for a second. I won't go too in-depth because I'm sure we'll do a Senshu Shokai. Oh, yeah, first episode of that show is on the Patreon as well, about Stardom. But this is not about Stardom. This is about Ice Ribbon. And it's the company that means the most to me. Out of any company, not just in Joshi, but in any kind of wrestling. Because it was one of the first two companies I watched when I first started watching Japanese pro wrestling regularly. I followed K-Dojo and then some 01 afterwards. I had a weird journey when it comes to the Japanese wrestling scene, but Ice Ribbon meant so much to me because they used to have these shows on Ustream called 19 O'Clock Pro Wrestling that I was so enraptured by as well. And to me, seeing Ice Ribbon, and particular Sakushi, who at the time was just a kid wrestling, and everybody kind of knows that if you're a long-time listener, but she was very young. I think she started around age 12. And when I saw her, you know, it was so inspirational to me because I was a wrestler when I was a kid too, you know, and at the time I was, you know, just on the very small indie scenes. We have a biography podcast again to listen to that as well, but more or less, I was on the very small indies, you know, public access TV level, pretty much. Nothing you'd ever hear of or be able to see or anything. But I just thought that Sakushi was the coolest girl ever. And today, she's still one of my favorite wrestlers. Legit. She means a lot to me and my development as a wrestler and a fan. Even though, like I said, I really didn't see her until after I was done, to be honest with you. You know, 16 or whatever at the time. 17. I don't even remember at this point. It was so long ago. I used to watch these 19 o'clock wrestling shows as well afterwards. It was one of my favorite things to do because I was always up so late. My sleeping schedule has always been a mess. I've always been on Japanese time, I like to say. But Ice Ribbon and Peace Party will always have a special place in my heart. So the timing really worked out to have WH on to talk about Stardom and also the Actress Girls show, which is really cool, and I know a lot of people like that. But Ice Ribbon is where it's at, in my opinion. So just keep that in mind. And I want to, before we get to the show real quick, I want to give a real special thanks to Yappy, of course. Never mind wrestling. She's honestly an amazing person with a beautiful heart, and I loved her being on the show so much. You know, it was such a fun time for me, and hopefully she did too. You never know, I guess, but I think she did too. So I was really happy for that too, considering how sometimes nervous and nerve-wracking these interviews can go or anything. It was more like a conversation than an interview, as you'll hear, but I do want to also give special thanks to Tsukasa Fujimoto and President Sato for giving us permission to do this show, which was very nice. So when you give respect, you get it back. So huge props to those guy and girl who were very nice at granting us permission. Please watch Yappy's match on Peace Party as soon as you can and let her know what you think of it. She's at Yappy, Y-A-P-I. And I know she'd really like to know what you think. I would love to talk to basically anybody about wrestling or anything as we get into on the show with how crazy it was. And like I said, it was really more like a conversation than an interview per se. It wasn't the super professional thing. It was really laid back. You know, we talked for a little while before this anyway. So I hopefully you all enjoy it. And thank you so much for listening. And from one half of the XL Shadows, turn a minus into a plus. And be happy with pro wrestling. And now, I'm so happy, positively giddy, to introduce my very special guest. Last week, I got to introduce to you the perspective of someone at the shows as a fan. Now, on episode 2, I'm bringing you the perspective of someone at the shows as a wrestler. In the ring now. She is from my favorite company, Ice Ribbon. She's been putting in work for a long time with people like Suzu Suzuki, Asahi, many others. She is incredibly beautiful. She is a hardworking and talented woman, and she can be a legit badass at will. Please welcome to Pure Heart, Pure Lariat, the Joshi Exclusive Podcast, one half of the XL Breakers with Hiragi Kurumi, and now one half of the XL Shadows with the Last Shadow, Dylan Fox. She is Yappy.
Hi.
I'm so excited to have you on. It's unbelievable. I can't believe this is happening right now. Yeah.
Well, actually, I have to correct you a little bit. It's like I'm not officially Ice Ribbon. I'm the Ice Ribbon sub-brand, which is Peace Party.
Yeah, Peace Party. That's right. That's even on... listen, Peace Party and Ice Ribbon, that's like, you know, two sides of the, that's like the left and the right Twix, practically. I like to say, listen, I told WH this, I always tell my guests this, never let the truth get in the way of a good story. I'm hyping listen, you can't correct me when I'm giving you praise. Let me over-exaggerate as much as possible.
Well, I mean, you know, like, Japan is the land of knowing your place, so...
That's true. And you're not actually Japanese.
No,
you're
not, I'm not.
Yeah, you know. You started, you were born in the Philippines, and you're coming to Japan, which is a place very near and dear to my heart, obviously. But I was so happy when I found that out, and you're representing Philippines well. I think a good place just to start off, because this is really the Yappy show right now. This is all, when you were younger in Philippines, did you know anything about wrestling? And what was the scene like when you were still there before you went to Japan?
Well, actually, you know, I just missed the scene because Philippine Wrestling Revolution started a year after I left the Philippines.
Unlucky.
Yeah, so if I left later, or maybe if they started earlier, I might have even like tried to try out there. You know, I don't know if I'll get in, but I would have tried. So.
That would have been very funny if you had been able to try, and because that was like, like PWR and stuff. They've got a couple of other promotions now too, in Manila based, really. But wrestling in the Philippines, there was really nothing for a long time.
Yeah. Well, there were some like really like very underground cable TV shows that happened. I mean, only like a handful of people really know about it, and it was really rough. You know, it's like some people would have like a t-shirt over their head or something like that. But it was fun. But yeah, it's like it's like y there you practically can't even find any copies of those matches anymore. So for the longest time, wrestling in the Philippines has been about WWE, or even when I was a kid, WWF.
Yeah.
So I grew up in WWF mostly because of my brother, but what really got me into wrestling was the original GLOW. So my whole family would gather in my parents' bedroom, and we would just watch GLOW all together. That's the only time that the family would like really get along. So,
I
and
couldn't
I
believe
thought
it.
like, what?
I couldn't believe it when you told me that. On that glow. We talked about this a while ago on DMs and stuff. But when you said glow, I was like, whoa. Like that's
I know, it's like a lot of people like it's funny because I thought it was a popular show when I was a kid. I guess maybe it was just popular with me because apparently not many people my age back home know about it. So it's like, was it just me and my family watching it? You know? That was
Who would have guessed it would spin an award-winning TV series like 20 years after the fact, or 30 years later on the Netflix show, right?
Yeah, I know. I mean, I was really excited when it came out. Although, I mean, as fun as it is, I was kind of hoping when I heard that they were going to remake it, I was kind of hoping it was going to actually be a promotion, not a, you know, TV series. But I mean, you know, it's still fun.
Yeah, you never know. That could happen one day. They bring back all sorts of things. So why not bring back Glow? I watched a show called WoW, which was like a successor to Glow, and it
Oh.
was the same stuff pretty much on there. They actually brought that back like 2 years ago.
Oh, did
So
they?
yeah, if WoW can come back, Glow can come back. But
Yeah, but I mean, at least the Netflix show, it still like gave some nods to the original one. You know, the whole Russia versus America thing, like
yeah.
Americana versus what was her name, and
Yeah.
then yeah, like there were some characters that reflected. You know, like Machu Picchu was like a mountain Fiji.
Yeah, about Fiji, yeah.
And I was really so into the little Fiji and Mount Fiji and the crazy twins beating her up and her sister coming to rescue her. And every show they do the same thing, but I just ate it up. I'm like, oh, rescue your sister. You know?
So that was your favorite wrestler when you were a kid, was Mount Fiji?
No, it was little Fiji. I liked it when she
Oh.
got beaten up.
Oh.
And when she got
I'm
rescued, I don't know. I had a thing for damsels in distress back then. The feminist me now would hate me. So.
Hey, there's nothing wrong with that. You were still growing up. You still had your faith. But yeah, so you watched Glow, you had this very strange thing in the Philippines at the time of pro wrestling, and
And I would wrestle with my big brother.
I think everybody did that. Whoever got into wrestling, I
Whether
want
they
to believe.
wanted to or not.
Yes, exactly. Like if your sister or your brother didn't like it, because I used to wrestle with my little sister too. So if they like it or not, if you love wrestling enough, that just happens.
I know.
It's
And it's like, you
guaranteed.
know, I tried to be a very girly girl. You know, I loved dolls and tea parties and pink dresses, but in the middle of my tea party, suddenly I'd get picked up and someone would be yelling, Suplex! And I'm like, crap! I gotta defend myself,
Oh
you know.
my
And then
God.
with my younger brother, we would have these fights that are legit death matches. Like we'd be bleeding afterwards. So, like whatever's in reach becomes a weapon. So, which is
Oh.
probably why Kasai Jun is my favorite male wrestler.
Yes, awesome. Yes, the crazy monkey. Well, what a
Yes.
great influence to have there. Who better to have? And that kind of leads me to that. So you were doing this crazy stuff, or really a fan of this stuff when it comes to wrestling. What really led you from the Philippines? You said you left right before PWR started up and the indie scene in the Philippines really kind of kicked off. What really led you to Japan in the first place?
Ah, well, I've been visiting Japan since 1997. So,
oh, wow.
Okay, so I guess maybe a few people are aware of this, but I'm a really old lady. I'm going to be 40 soon. So, yeah, I'm pushing 40. So, about over 20 years ago, I came to Japan as a teenager. I was 17 years old, and I really enjoyed it. So I kept coming back, and I came to study Japanese for like a couple months when I was in college. And since I just came coming, just kept coming back. So in 2012, I was actually, so it's kind of personal. I was actually in a relationship with a person who was living in Korea, but that person couldn't move to the Philippines and I couldn't move to Korea. So we decided, you know what, our middle ground would be Japan. I mean, we're not together anymore. They left, but I decided to stay. So.
Okay. Your love for Japan continued on.
Yeah.
See, you like how I turned that around on there, but that's honestly still a really cool story that you did that. That's a very passionate thing, you know. It shows your big heart as well. And then it just comes to pass that you just so happen, whatever you say, I don't think you're old, but you went to the Ice Ribbon Dojo. And so how did this get started going on? Did you even want to wrestle at first? How did you get involved with the Ice Ribbon? What happened that led to this?
Well, the first show, the first Joshi show I ever saw in Japan was actually Reina. So my friend took me to a Reina show, and it was in that show, it was Makoto and Aoi Kizuki was there. And there was also that other Filipina wrestler, Cheska. So yeah. I really loved Makoto and Aoi, and I was like, wow, these two girls are great. And then, you know, like I saw Cheska, like, oh, there's a Filipina here. You know, I mean, usually the Philippines is very underrepresented in almost everything. So it's always surprising for us to see someone from the homeland doing something overseas. So, and then like my friend was telling me, oh yeah, so, you know, Makoto and Kizuki Aoi, they used to be Ice Ribbon. And so I looked it up. And then I was telling my friend, it's like, you know, I wonder if I can at least just, you know, learn how to do it as a hobby. And then he told me, you know, Ice Ribbon has a wrestling circle. And I looked it up and like, oh my God, anybody can join. And it's, you know, other promotions, it's the limit to join the dojo is maybe like 25 years old or 30 years old, something like that. And I mean, not that I went to Ice Ribbon just because they were the only ones who would take me at my age, but I mean, it is a great promotion. It was like, so it was like the, you know, icing on top of the cake that they would accept me at my age. So the wrestling circle, anybody at any age and at any fitness level is welcome to come in. And it's not necessarily to debut. You can do it as a hobby. So I thought, oh, yeah, you know, I'll come in as a hobby. So I'll just, you know, enjoy and, you know, learn some moves and at least, you know, like see some wrestlers like in person and secretly fangirl over them. And then so I entered the dojo in November 2017. And it was fun. So at the time, the one teaching wrestling circle was Saya. So it was headed by Saya. And Tsukushi was her co-sensei. And also Maruko. Maruko was also training us at the time. And after a few months, like in March, they told me, hey, Shacho, president wants to see you upstairs. And I'm like, oh God, what did I do?
Oh.
So, and you know, they love doing that. It's like, you know, like, hey, president wants to see you. Oh, what did you do? You know? So I was like freaking scared. Like, oh my God, did I say something rude? Because, you know, not being not Japanese and my Japanese conversation skills, like being on the rude side because I didn't know how to speak politely, I'm constantly being offensive without meaning to. So when they called me upstairs and then, you know, president sat me down and he's like, Yappy, do you want to debut? And I'm just like, oh. If I can, you know, with the... So there.
That was exactly then... how it happened too, I hope.
That's... Yeah. That was how I was stuttering. It's like, if you know, I mean, except it's in Japanese, but I'm just like, if I can, you know. And he said, all right, well, you know, wrestling circle is beginner's training, and so you're going to enter, you're going to join the pro training. And so that happened in March of 2018.
Yeah. Okay. So there's two different levels, the beginner training, which is more just like a hobby, and then the pro training for people that would debut on such shows that you're on now.
Yeah. Well, it's not yet 100% that you will debut just because you've joined those sessions.
Oh,
so
okay.
It's just, yeah. So it's just harder now. So you're going to see, like, can you last? You know, so the trial by fire starts.
Not to cut you off, but just to lead on there, how really was the training in the Ice Ribbon system?
It's a lot of like, so you do a lot of exercises. So it's like half of it would be exercises and half of it would be moves. And the exercises, so anyway, like the training would be like, you know, 300 squats or like hold a handstand for a minute and a half or, like the side steps and the burpees are hell. So it's like, yeah, I'm like heaving after, you know, after every set. I'm like, you know, like, can I really do this? And the thing is, like, I even like before pro wrestling, I was a roller derby player, but I still really wasn't at wrestler fit level. So my knee was not used to that level of intensity, and it just blew up and it accumulated water. So in about June of 2018, I had to be removed from the pro practices to recover.
Yeah. Oh man, that's terrible.
That was a blow. And that was just like at the same month that they announced that Suzu was going to debut. You know, so Suzu and I had been training together. She was already Renshusei. I wasn't even Renshusei yet. I was Prosase. So it's like I'm all over the place. But the levels in Ice Ribbon, you start out as Prosase, which is Pro Wrestling Circle Student. And that's anybody can be a Prosase. And then when they accept you as an official trainee, that's when you become Renshusei. So Suzu had been Renshusei since March or April. Since April. She's been Renshusei since April. I was still processing. And then when they announced her debut in June, I was taken out of pro practice. So I was like crying myself to sleep for a week, thinking that, oh my God, there goes the dream. I'm not going to be a wrestler. So.
That's terrible. But it's never like something you were like, oh man, like I've got all my other stuff going on. I'm doing a great job in Japan, this awesome country. Maybe I just need to give this up. You never wanted to quit, but they took you out pretty much. You still wanted it so much. You were devastated when they took you out.
Well, I was really devastated. But then the president still asked me to help out at the event. So I was still showing up. So it felt like, you know, they didn't completely sever me. And, you know, I guess they were just waiting for me to recover. And then so the surprising thing, so in January, right, because usually the exhibition matches are in May, right? They're always in Golden Week. For how many years? It's always been May. And suddenly it was, they told us in November that we were going to have an exhibition match in January. And me and Hiromi, she's a wrestling circle student who's been a student for 8 years. So we were like, well, why are we having an exhibition match in January? This is unusual. But okay, we did it, and it was fun. And then suddenly, our training menu just shot up the roof, and Mio was like working us through the bone. Mm-hmm. And then in February, she gave us a test. And I'm like, what's this out of the blue? Why is it? And then suddenly, yeah. So actually, my debut, I was told about my debut 2 weeks before.
Like I said, yeah. that's crazy. Like all of that training to lead up to the most random debut ever, you know, just 2 weeks before, pretty much.
It was super random. You know, like Suzu had like months to prepare for hers, and Bunny had since January to prepare for hers. And then suddenly, hey, Yappy, are you coming to the Yokohama party? Are you helping? I'm like, yeah, okay. And then like a few days later, oh, Fujimoto-san wants to talk to you. What did you do? Here it goes again. And then when they brought me into the room, I thought, oh my God, am I finally gonna be Renshusei? Is my exhibition match series finally gonna start? Because I had a good feeling about it. And then suddenly, oh, you're gonna debut. I'm like, what? Wait, what? Where's my Renshusei rank? Where's my exhibition match? You can't debut me right away. And then a few days later, they told me who was I, about like what my match was, and I'm like, why are you putting me in the main event? I've never faced a pro. Why am I the main event? So,
Wrestling works in mysterious ways. I will, in many ways, not just with you. But your story is almost like, I feel like if they created a video game about wrestling, it had a career mode, a story mode,
and
somehow it
I'm
would start
cheat
with.
mode.
I see you cheated on there. You've got the cheat code right now, the Contra code, for advancing all the way through the pro style training, all the way right. Main events on there. So that's really good. But is there anybody that you really kind of credit as helping you most along during your training, phase one of your career up to this point, obviously? Is there anybody that really helped you along the way that you credit most?
It was definitely Mio. Like, the way Mio pushed me, it was like the toughest of toughest loves, you know? I've been pushed to tears during training, so. And when she took her maternity leave and asked Ohata-san to take over, I think she probably gave Ohata-san some instructions to be just as tough because she's pushed me to tears as well. So I'm tearing up now just thinking about it. So.
Hey, I love the emotion. I love the passion that you have for it. That shows you right there. This is just training we're talking about. You just debuted and you're getting so excited about just the training and how hard it was. People never really get a good view of that, I feel like, when it comes to the training. Not that it's a huge secret. Everybody knows about certain dojo systems in Japan and just wrestling in general. It's kind of hard, physically. I don't know if this is a big secret I'm breaking right now. I don't want to just by saying
Nah,
this.
I think everyone knows that wrestling
Yeah,
training is hard.
exactly. Like I said, I'm breaking news on the Pure Heart Preliminary Podcast with Dylan and Yaffe. It's hard.
Training is hard. Yeah, and the
Yes.
thing is, it's like, I'm up against like, well, not up against, but I'm alongside these, really young girls. You've got Asahi and you've got Suzu and you've got Bunny, and they're all very agile and very light, and they move really well. And Suzu is like flexible as hell. Like, yeah, so I'm very in awe with that girl. And here I am, this 40-year-old fat girl who is so unfit. So, okay, when I entered the dojo, I couldn't run for more than 3 minutes. That's how unfit I was. So.
The only reason I want to say that is that you're not fat, you're hot. I just wanted your pizza. Okay, that's all. That's what you got to think about that stuff. Don't talk down about yourself, man. You're doing a great job.
No, this is something you have to understand, like especially like in the the women's wrestling in Japan. I mean, if you compare it to like, I mean, I'm not super familiar with the indie promotions in the States, but if you go purely by WWE, their women are all like very shapely and very athletic, and that typical mainstream expectation of beauty. But then you go into Joshi wrestling, you have all these shapes and sizes. And
True.
you have me and you have Totoro-san and you have Hamuko, and we're round girls, and we say we're fat, and we're not saying that being fat is a bad thing. It's just a fact that we know about ourselves. We're fat girls, and we don't see that as something negative. I mean, even the fat jokes, it's like, I come into the ring, they're like, oh, deka, everyone, or like I'm jumping on the rope, they're like, oh, the poor rope, it's gonna break. I mean, It's all in good humor. They're not saying that I'm ugly because I'm fat. It's like, yeah, she's heavy and she's going to crush you. So
yeah.
I don't really see fatness as a negative trait. Ice Ribbon made me feel less, you know, like Ice Ribbon made me feel like it's not that bad to be so big.
Yeah, that's amazing. Like, honestly, that you would see that. I feel like you've gotten a lot more confident lately, even on your online presence. I told you that in DMs. I feel like you've gotten a lot more confident lately. And I'm sure that Ice Ribbon in the wrestling has had a lot to do with that. And, you know, that's really cool that all that happened. How is life like for you? You mentioned it, you know, like you said, you're Filipino. You're not a native. You're a little bigger than the other people there, just in general. But really, you're in this Joshi scene in Japan. How has wrestling changed your life compared to where you were before you started this Ice Ribbon thing?
I don't know. The thing is, like, I've always been the type to just jump into something without, you know, if I decide I'm going to do it, I'm going to jump into it. Like, moving to Japan, it was a decision that was done within 3 weeks. Even when I lived in China, you know, like, when I decided to move to China, it was done within 2 weeks. So I decided, you know what, I'm going to wrestle, and I did. And so it's not really that much different for how I run my life in general. But I guess it's like, although it is very exhausting because, you know, as a rookie, I'm not really earning that much money yet. So I still have the day job. And so, like, my time, it's like, it's either I'm at the day job or I'm at the dojo. I pretty much don't have any days off. I have, like, maybe one day off every 3 months or so. So I'm exhausted, pretty much. I'm so exhausted.
The best way it could change your life, it made you more tired overall, more than anything else. But listen, you've lived such a wild life. I think they need to make the Yappy movie. You've traveled to all these different places. You wrestle on crazy whims and things like that. Go to Japan, wrestle in Ice Ribbon, a great company. Before I get to a little bit on just some stuff for the future and wrestling and things like that, I did want to ask one more thing about living in Japan. Do you have a favorite, are there some favorite parts you like and some negative traits of living there that you would have that say?
Let's see, positives of Japan, well, I'm really scatterbrained. You know, I would leave my phone everywhere. One time I left like €1,000 on a ferry in Scotland. So I'm that bad. But in Japan, it's always going to find its way back to me somehow. So that's one great thing. It's just, you know, really safe. Crime rate is really low. I can go jogging at 3 a.m. and not worry about anything. Even like, you know, I'm walking by myself in a dark road, and I see this group of drunk men, and I know they're not going to bother me. So
that's really nice.
It is, right?
It's a lot different in America. I will say that, especially where I'm from. So you got it lucky with the Japan crime rate. A little on there.
Right? And no catcalling. I mean, you've got the Nampa boys in some towns, but I mean, it's not the norm. The catcalling is definitely not the norm. So yeah. That's nice.
That's
and,
good.
Yeah, and you know, I mean, it's okay. Now this is a double-edged sword, the politeness. It's nice that everyone's so polite, but on the other hand, you're also like, oh my god, I hope I'm not doing anything rude. So
well, they have the public face in the tatemae, you know, and stuff.
Tatemae,
like that.
Yeah.
Tatemae, of
yeah,
course.
Tatemae in honne.
Yes.
You see during rush hour. Rush hour is honne hour.
Oh, okay. That's a thing you won't learn on any other show except for this one. So that's kind of like a double-edged sword. But getting back to wrestling real quick to close things out, round about it a little bit. You went through the pro training phase and went right to the shows, even in the main events. How did you personally feel about your first match? We'll probably put this out right as your match airs. On the Nico Nico service. But how did you feel about it going in, teaming with Rina Yamashita in a huge main event? That must have just been incredible. Any particular way that came about, pretty much?
I couldn't have asked for a cooler tag team partner. I'm seriously senpaiing so hard on Rina Yamashita.
I think
So she is super awesome.
one of the best, I would say.
Yeah.
Just as an outsider watching her, she's like one of the best to me. I was really
Yeah.
excited for that teamed with her, to be honest with you.
I was excited for myself. I'm like, hell yeah, I'm gonna be fighting with Rina Yamashita. There's okay. I don't care anymore what's happening in the world. So
Yeah, see, there you go. See, look, I listen, Ice Ribbon's motto is be happy with wrestling. And am I right?
But it is really nerve-wracking to be against Burning Raw, just knowing how popular they are. So I was like, first of all, this is gonna be like, the exhibition matches. It's to get you used to the ring and to get you used to fighting with a pro. I mean, I've had two exhibition matches, but they were against other wrestling circle students. So I've never been in the ring with a pro before. So there were so many things running through my head. It's like, oh my God, please don't let me botch any moves. It's like, don't just, like, please don't make me look like a, just don't make an idiot of myself in the ring against, like I'm sharing the same ring with all these amazing wrestlers. And I'm like, oh my God, don't be a potato. Whatever you do, don't be a potato. So yeah, I was dead scared. Like even up to the moment that I walked out of that curtain, like my, if I had balls, they'd be in my throat. So
Well,
kind of happy I don't. So.
yeah, I'm very glad you don't too. I will say, on this, just on a personal level. But trust me, every single wrestler has thought those same thoughts that you've had, especially early on in their career. But I'm looking forward to it on that end. It's just really cool. And just to say one thing about the exhibition matches, I know you posted on your social media and stuff that didn't they give you the DVDs of your matches to watch alone when you had those?
I don't have a DVD of my first exhibition match of last year's Golden Week, but I do have a DVD of the Skip City one.
Yeah, and they gave it to you pretty much on.
Yes. Yeah.
That's really cool that they did that. It would have been very strange if you had had more exhibition matches up there. You could have had a lot more DVDs. That's the one bad part of debuting actually on the main roster is you missed out on having a collection of exhibition DVDs that you could have had. When they make the Yappy Story, the collection, that's you want the footage pretty much on there.
Well, I mean, don't sell me too much. It's like,
That's what I do. You need to understand that when you come. I will hype you up. If anybody's listening, that we got, listen, we got permission and confirmation from Suka, the president. And if any of those people are listening, they know what the people in the West feel about Yappy John here. But yeah, so now you had your debut, and they already put you with a tag team, with Kurumi, the XL Breakers. How does it feel to be in this tournament so fast? You're barely one match into your career and you're already announced for the tournament. How does it feel to team with somebody like Kurumi who's been wrestling for a while now?
Well, I mean, I feel like extremely lucky. I mean, okay, so I've only had two matches in my career, but one was with Rina Yamashita and the other one was with Kari Yoneyama, which,
Yeah.
and like I would never have imagined that I would even have the chance to wrestle with these people at least until like maybe 2 or 3 years into my career. So like I'm actually like, not even like it doesn't even feel like reality yet that I'm getting all these opportunities to be alongside these people. But then at the same time, it's a lot of pressure because, I have to like bring myself to at least like a decent level when I'm beside them. I mean it actually like brought me down a little bit like the other day, like on Twitter, one Japanese fan was saying that, because Yoneyapi with Yoneyama is such a great wrestler, and so like I look kind of bland and boring next to her, and that really smart, like really hurt a lot. But I mean
They need to pay attention to your Twitter, that Japanese fan. I saw that picture you had the other day in the store. And I had to do a double take. You didn't look bland at all, Yappy. That fan got it wrong. I'm not even
No,
hyping.
I mean,
Tell you
no, I mean, I mean, the thing is, like, I don't want to dismiss
the truth.
people's opinions because, you know, if you want to improve, you got to listen to what people are saying. I mean, at the same time, oh God, why am I crying? At the same time, you got to develop a thicker skin. And, you know, it's like, I think I did put out a tweet after I saw that. I was like, I know, it's like all these comments are going to be told about me. You know, it's really upping the anxiety a bit. But it's like, I just got to remind myself, like, what do I love about this and why I'm doing it? And, you know, I entered a company that does happy pro wrestling, so I should be happy. And I got to remind myself that I am a rookie and I am learning. And as long as I don't stop learning, it'll be okay. The comments will always come, and, you know, I can't get mad over them. I can't, like, whine over them. It's just like, you know, learn what you can. Like, what can I learn from this tweet? And what can I do better so that I don't see this kind of tweet again, you know? I'm never going to take it against any other person saying any comments about me, because if I don't listen to people's comments, I'm not going to improve.
That's a very good way to look at it. And wrestling is so hard, you know, just like we mentioned earlier, like physically, but also mentally. It's hard to get in that ring and bump every single day over and over and all of this crazy stuff that wrestling involves. I don't know why.
Why are we doing it, right?
Yeah,
exactly. Why are we doing this?
Yeah, exactly. I've had that thought so many times in my life. It's crazy. But, you know, like, you know, but it's so, you already proven by making it on the roster and debuting that you are mentally tough, you know? So that's really cool on your part that you look at it that way and have a healthy way to deal with critical comments. And like you said, you're just starting. So you're really not even, you're just scratching the surface, really. You know, your look next year, a month from now, however, could be totally different than what it is now. But for the record, I do like it a lot.
I have something to say about that look.
Listen, I'm encouraging the look, and that's all we need to say.
Well, here's the thing. I told you. I was told that I was debuting 2 weeks before.
Yeah.
So I had no time to have a costume made. I ran to my closet and looked like, okay, what here looks like a costume?
Like I said, hey, that's how all the greats get their careers. They just go to their closet. You know, we don't have time for getting gear made, but hopefully that'll happen soon.
Yeah, you'll see me in a costume soon enough.
Yeah. Oh, I can't wait for that. That's actually a good lead into my question I kind of wrote down to ask you. I wanted to specifically ask this, but do you really have a specific style that you want to emphasize in the ring going forward? You know, you are still a rookie, obviously, but in a perfect world, what do you have a specific style that you want to emphasize going forward?
You know, that's the thing. So I'm like, how I see myself is pretty much the opposite of what I actually am. I love to sell myself as a badass. It's like, I'm always like wearing black and leather and like there's skulls everywhere. But then my friends are like, Yappy, look at you. Like, you've got this high-pitched voice and you're so bubbly and happy. It's like, you're not a badass. You're cute. And I'm like, I'm not cute. I'll mess you up. You know, so like, I don't know. I mean, I'm pretty sure it'll like kind of, it'll probably take a life on its own, and things will fall into place. I'm just going to trust the universe that it's my look is just going to naturally evolve into what it's supposed to be.
That's true. Do you have a specific style in the ring that you feel like is one of your greatest strengths already? You know, you've been training for a while now and you just made your debut, but do you feel like you have a strength in ring that you can, you feel more comfortable with?
Well, they're really like, you know, I don't know if you were able to read the Tsukasa's report on the Yokohama party match. So there was a, you know, like how Ice Ribbon releases like a match report afterwards and with an interview. So so in that interview, Saya was saying that she's like, you know, she's setting me up to be a power fighter, which I do agree with, because I've always naturally been stronger than average, you know, compared to other girls. And speed is definitely not my best point. I'm the slowest runner in the dojo, but I am strong. I would say that I'm probably stronger than most of the wrestlers there, except Micah. Like, Micah is like a powerhouse. So, I mean, she was a power lifter. I can't compete against that. But I feel like I can probably outlift almost anybody there.
Yeah.
So, you know, so that's where my strength lies in. Like, literally, I'm strong. So,
Yeah. See, that's good. That's good that you can base your style around that. You have something to do that. I was wondering if you're going to adopt maybe a 450 splash or something like into your arsenal going forward. We may have to hook up on that in the future. I'll show you some stuff like that. But I'm just kidding. Like, the power wrestling totally suits you and your style. Just looking at you right away. You are bigger than a lot of the girls, and make sure to use that well. That's really cool that you have something that makes you stand out. Even if you're not a power lifter like Ozaki, you still have a lot to offer on that front overall. But yeah, besides that, really, what are your future goals in wrestling? You've got this career, you made a debut already. That alone is like a completed goal. When I started wrestling, I only wanted to have one match. That was literally my only goal. Aim higher than I did. That's why I was gone for 10 years, probably. But what are your future goals in wrestling, and what's your motivation going forward in Ice Ribbon and beyond, wherever you go in wrestling?
Well, in wrestling, it's just right now I'm a peace party roster. So mostly I'm limited to just doing peace party matches. So that was why it was such a surprise for me that I was included in the tournament. So of course, next goal, I would like to be able to work the actual Ice Ribbon events. You know, if I can get my levels up to that would be really great. And then after that, maybe if I gain more confidence and I get better in the ring, you know, and I get to fight better, then maybe I can start, you know, like letting myself get booked in other promotions. Because, you know, it's always nice to like mix it up. You know, Ice Ribbon has a certain feel, and then you go to another promotion and they have a different feel. And, you know, someday I would really like to either fight or team up with Yoshiko because, God, I love her. And,
Oh yeah,
you know,
that's a great pairing you could have too.
there's just so many wrestlers that I admire. I mean, I love every wrestler in Ice Ribbon, but there are also wrestlers in other promotions that I love. So I would love to work with them. But, you
Yeah,
know, I gotta work on myself before I can do that. So.
that's true. That's true. We don't want to get ahead of ourselves, but I'm just talking about that's something to aspire to, you know, with Yoshiko. That would be a great match you could have or a team. Do you follow any of the promotions regularly besides Ice Ribbon and things like that?
I try to watch them as I can, although it's like I'm juggling so much in my life right now, you know, the just trading. Like I train every like Monday, Wednesday, and Thursday, and then sometimes it'll be like a weekend, you know, event, and I'll have to be there. So, and then I have my day job, which I finish at 10 p.m. and I have to go to the gym from midnight to 2 a.m., you know, or I run. So
Yeah.
basically my schedule is like I'm at Ice Ribbon, I'm at the dojo from 1 p.m. to 9 p.m. and then the next day I'm working until 10 p.m. and then every other night I'm at the gym in the wee hours of the morning and I'm so exhausted.
I'm getting tired
So
thinking about right now, your schedule right now. So you're on point, but you still know a lot about the other promotions and the wrestlers and things like that, at least.
mostly because they you know they collaborate with Ice Ribbon. They come to our dojo, they come to our shows, and then when they bring an outside wrestler to the show, I'm like, oh, who is this? I'm gonna watch her on YouTube and learn about her.
Yeah.
So
Okay, well, that's really cool that you're in there. I just have one more question for you right now, just to kind of wind things down here. And I think it's something that's really important to ask here.
okay.
Very serious question. And that is, you kind of jumped on me earlier. I don't know if you're psychic or what, but you mentioned it with the personality question. But I had to ask you, what is your favorite kind of meat to eat?
My favorite kind of meat.
Yes.
Damn, that's a really tough question. It is a
That's
serious
a hot.
question. This is the question of questions.
Yeah, you're in the hot
Okay.
seat now.
No, okay. I really love lamb, which is really hard to get in Japan.
I know, I was just thinking about how hard that would be to get there. That's the most exotic possible kind that you could have, I feel.
I love lamb, and but the thing is, I can't eat it without mint jelly, which also you cannot get in Japan. So it's a lot of coordination with friends outside the country.
See, that's good. We're gonna put that in the Yappy movie in the future when they put. I'm gonna make sure to remember that. And mind you, were telling me off. We were talking off air about the food habits. I think you're gonna get me killed if I follow your recommendations on there sometime. I'm not as brave as you, Yappy. You have to understand that sometimes.
Well, I grew up Filipino. We eat everything, so it's kind of a given. I'm on a handicap, so.
Okay, I feel you on that one. I saw your picture on Twitter you had where you had that big stuffed piece of meat that you were trying to eat to gain strong, to be strong. And I was intimidated. I told you, you were intimidating me. You totally looked the part of a badass on that. That picture, at least. So I was very proud of you for that. But yeah, it's really awesome to talk to you, and I was really happy to have you on. I hope a lot of people listening enjoyed what you had to say, this inside look into the Ice Ribbon and their dojo, obviously. Catch Yappy on the Ice Ribbon shows going forward. Her first match, she teamed with Rina Yamashita versus Julia and Takiya Saya, and that'll air on... it'll probably air by the time the show drops, actually. It's just a couple days from now. So that'll be cool. Everybody check that out if you can. And, yeah, where can they find you online if you want to talk to the fans or if anybody wants to talk to you about what you're up to?
Well, my Twitter is Yappy, but it's the original spelling, Yappi. So yeah. I the promotion spelling of my name is Yappy. So,
why did you change it, Yappy? Why the horrible change that we've had?
It's easier for Japanese to remember that spelling. Yeah, that's one reason.
Yeah,
and the thing that cemented it, actually, when they were trying to figure out my ring name, and they said, oh, what about Yappy? And I'm like, you know, in English, that means a small dog that won't shut up. And Julia and Saya were just like, oh, that's so perfect. Let's use it. I'm like, holy crap. So,
this is my life now.
I know. I am now a small dog that won't shut up. Which is probably quite accurate anyway. So,
you're a bad.
I mean, I think I was all over the place during this interview. I'm sorry.
Listen, it's like a conversation. So, like I said, you're allowed to go wherever you want, whatever realm you want to go to. Everybody check her out at Yappy, Yappi, on Twitter, even though they spell it different in the Ice Ribbon, obviously.
And on Instagram is Yappitori.
Yeah, check you out on Instagram, too. I don't even have that. I don't even follow you on that, unfortunately. I need to get on that. I did it. Yeah. When I get Instagram, you're going to be the first person I follow, Yappy.
Yay! That's Yappitori.
Yes. So check her out on Insta and Twitter, and check her out on Ice Ribbon wherever you can out there, and keep up with her career. And Yappy, I just want to wish you personally that I hope you have much success in the future, and I can't wait to have you on again after you've got a few more time, few more matches, and a few more things up your belt, on your
Thank
belt
you.
Rather.
Yeah. Under my belt. I think that's
whatever.
How it goes.
It's the same thing, like I said. And you know what I'm mean. You know, it's under the belt. I'm excited right now just thinking about all the stuff you told me. That's the problem. So I got but
well, thank you very much for having me. Thank you for having this little rookie on your show. Not so little rookie, but
couldn't have asked for a better guest. So thank you very much. And to all the listeners out there, I'll be back next time with a whole different cast of characters and subjects. And until then, sayonara.
Saka.